Radio Daily for Finally Fracking Friday. And I don't care that it's raining here because it's like upper 60s. It's pretending like it's spring, and that's really something beautiful.
Well, and you're only happy when it rains.
That's true. I only, from the inside. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places. Welcome to the 15th of March, and I know there's usual silly jokes. I'm just saying today, maybe stay away from certain kind of salads. The folks bringing the tea today. The man who's ready to hit the weekend with the same energy he always does. That's podcasting Fred Siegfried.
I'm ready for sex.
Whoa, dude. Let it get to the evening.
I've already had five.
That's fair enough. Hi there. I'm the guy that's always here for you. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Very fine line between not listening and not caring. I'd like to think that I walk that line every day of my life.
Every damn day. What happened, sir?
In 1915, the English Divisional Court of Appeals rules in the case of Ellis versus North Metropolitan Theatres Limited that local authorities do not have the right to ban cinema exhibitions on Sundays.
Even if it's Emmanuel. 1959, at Brookhaven National Laboratory in Upton, New York, the first U.S. atomic reactor built specifically for medical research, the Brookhaven Medical Research Reactor, reaches criticality, but it will be decommissioned in December 2000. It takes a while. You need some people.
So did it roll a 1 or a 20? That's the question. 1960, the National Observatory at Kitt Peak, Arizona is dedicated. Housing 23 telescopes, it is the largest and most diverse gathering of astronomical instruments in the world.
1972, NASA selects a three-part configuration for the design of the space shuttle, an expendable external tank for the first stage, partially reusable solid rocket boosters, and the reusable orbiter.
I'm just glad they put the people in the right ones.
Right.
1985, Symbolic.com becomes the very first registered internet domain. Wow, that's like a so allegorical.
And a great trivia question. 1989, Hink Rogers makes an offer to acquire the rights to develop a console version of Tetris on behalf of Nintendo. And while the details of the offer will remain undisclosed, it's high enough that Mirasoft doesn't even try to match it.
Is Mirasoft like the goatee-wearing version of Microsoft, I wonder? In 1997, in Seattle, Washington, the GameWorks Video Arcade opens. The arcade is a joint venture between DreamWorks, Sega Enterprises of Japan, and Universal Studios. The arcade's main attraction is the Vertical Reality Interactive game, which was designed by Steven Spielberg. Up to 12 players are seated around columns of three video screens, and as opponents are shot, players are elevated. The object of the game is to reach the top.
No other game has ever had that. 1998, Apple Computer opens stores within stores in all 149 Comp USA chain stores across the country, addressing the longstanding complaints of Mac users over the lack of selection at most local retailers.
Yo, dog, we heard you liked stores. In 2002, Screen Gems releases the action film Resident Evil, directed by Paul Anderson and starring Mia Jovovich, Michelle Rodriguez, Eric Mabius, James Purifoy, and Martin Cruz.
God, I wish they'd kept that original idea of making it a musical. 2004, the discovery of 90377 Sedna, the most distant natural object in the solar system yet observed, is announced. You can see part of it. They filmed a tiny bit of it. It's on the special edition DVD.
It's a zombie. That's the zombie who fell before the fall. Wow, two of you got that one. Same day, same year, Gearbox Software releases the first-person shooter Halo Custom Edition for Windows. The edition of the game allows users to make use of player-generated maps and game modifications, and this was probably one of the best ways to film future episodes of Red versus Blue.
Only reason it should exist, actually. Birthdays?
Anna Schaefer, 27 years old, Romilda in Harry Potter.
Jai Courtney is 33 from A Good Day to Die Hard, I, Frankenstein, Eric and Divergent, Terminator Geneesis, and Suicide Squid.
Suicide Squid.
Right? That old school, bringing it back.
It just constantly chokes itself with its tongue. Kellen Lutz, 34 years old, Emmett in Twilight, Immortals, and Tarzan.
Sean Biggerstaff is 36, Hello. Oliver in Harry Potter.
Brian T. is 42 years old from The Wolverine, Jurassic World, and Shredder in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Park Overall is 52 years of age from Empty Nest, was adorable in Biloxi Blues.
Craig Wasson, 65, Dr. Gordon in Elm Street 3, and Body Double.
John Dutine is 70, Bill in Day of the Triffids.
The only man you should give respect to is Iron Sheik.
is 76 now.
David Cronenberg is 76 years of age. As a director, you know him from Dead Zone, Videodrome, The Fly. As an actor, Sleepwalkers. So as a director, he's great.
Judd Hirsch is 84 years old from Taxi, Dear John. Let's face it, we love him in the independence movies.
No longer with us, born this date in 1904, J. Pat O'Malley. Tweedles in Alice in Wonderland, the voice of Jasper in 101 Dalmatians. You'll find him in Son of Flubber, Mary Poppins, and Willard.
1910, Nick Stewart, Lightning on Amos and Andy. Brer Bear in Song of the South. Wow, he was in a lot of problematic. Silver Streak and Hollywood Shuffle.
1914, Joe E. Ross, best known as being Tootie. And Car 54, Where Are You? Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, that guy.
Doesn't sound like Kim Fields at all. And 1916, Frank Coughlin Jr. from Gone with the Wind and was Billy Batson in the 1941 Captain Marvel. On TV on CBS, we've got the ACC Tourney Semifinals 2. We're going to find out if they're going to add more letters.
ABC, fresh off the boat, Speechless and 2020.
NBC has a new Blind Spot, Black Hist, and Daytimes.
Over on Fox's new Last Man Standing. And then the team is torn when a white supremacist beseeches the Injustice Defense Group to get his wrongful conviction overturned on a new proven innocent.
CW has a new Dynasty and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
AMC has Revenge of the Nerds. Just don't watch that one scene.
A&E has a new life bid.
FX has Sing, which isn't the Sting like I thought it was for a moment, so I'm only, you know, slightly interested.
It's just an animal version of the Sting.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
FXX, Simpsons, Homer to the Max, Maximum Homer Drive, and Monty Can't Buy Me Love.
FXM, it's X-Men Apocalypse. It was okay.
Yeah, I didn't think it was all that bad. BBC America has Weird Science.
Paramount is showing I Am Richard Pryor, this new documentary, and of course I'll watch it because it's Richard Pryor, and anything with his name attached to, I'll watch. Hell, I watched The Toy 7 times.
Okay, so I was worried that you were announcing your next cosplay, and we were going to have a conversation about that. Sci-Fi has Hellboy.
Turner Classic Movies has Young Frankenstein.
TBS has E-League CSGO 2019 Winners Finals.
TNT has Doctor Strange. He didn't go to 7 years of, you know, mystic art school for nothing.
See, I'm more of a petty dabbler in the dark arts. Science has Mysteries of the Abandoned.
Well, we're going to be watching
Orphans?
Yeah, sure. We're going to watch the Lifetime Movie Network because Claire has always loved her son Jim and her granddaughter Sydney, but struggles to connect with her daughter-in-law Allison, and she announces a big job promotion that's going to relocate them far away. And Claire's motherly instincts are pushed to an unsettling level where she will scheme, lie, and even murder to keep her son and granddaughter from moving away. Kristen Dalton, Barbara Williams, and Mark Collier star in Murder-in-Law.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby invites Stefan, Chloe, and Gabby over for a visit and then to talk about that doomed relationship. And oh no! Stefan has an accident and his back goes out. So now Chad and Abby got to deal with Stefan camping out in the living room while his back heals. Can we please get some single payer to keep this nonsense from happening again? Chad and Abby find it difficult to be romantic as Stefan whines about missing his poker game. So they do an online game to keep the tradition alive. But oh no, now you gotta hear John getting warned about Diana. Everybody gossiping about Marlena taking a bad turn. Brady yelling at Eric for kissing Sarah. And Julie tearing Sierra, yo, why don't you put your lips together and greet this breakfast that I made? Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
But of course we do. Hi again, geeks. Cinemistress, Carol the Cat, my enthusiastic support for everything you said in your episode covering Captain Marvel. I'm still looking forward to seeing it as my maybe girlfriend has significant chronic health problems and couldn't make it to opening night last Friday because neither of us knew about the Thursday night midnight screenings. And I hated that there are guys who react to this movie as if it was actually a threat to them at all. I sincerely doubt that Captain Marvel is about social justice in any overt way. If anything, I'm guessing it's more like Billy's corrective quote in context about what Morgan Freeman actually said about racism. I think real, actual social justice is good for everybody. There's always someone whose extreme approach ruins a thing for everyone and sets off someone else's extreme reaction. It's up to everyone else to clean up the mess and collectively provide the pound of cure, the need for which some cranky people created by not using an ounce of preventive restraint. Cinemistress, you're the best. I hope you get through to some of the cranky fanboys. That is from Bill.
I think it's important, like, we all have different thoughts and things like that, whether they're prejudices or biases, we may not realize. We only know that they exist once they are either pointed out or we discover them. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you're a bad person if you discover something like that. If you keep doing it, well, that's where it's a problem. And if there's somebody who's challenging you and you don't feel the need to do the work on yourself, then just keep your opinion to yourself. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that either.
Because seriously, we all have to work on ourselves. I know you won't believe this, but I'm a much better version of the me than I used to be. Wow. If you would like to weigh in on that topic, by all means, it's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. You can tell us all kinds of stories about your wokeness, or you can tell us all about it in a voicemail by dialing the magic number of
510-GRD-CROW.
I'm so woke, the only thing I'm tired of is toxic masculinity.
To Destiny comes a new podcast. Three guardians who will guide you to glory, honor, and...
Yeah, nah. Not that kind of podcast.
This is Happy Hour from the Tower. I'm T.
I'm Nick.
I'm Brandon.
And we're going to talk about all things Destiny. Why we play.
Why we love punching aliens in the face.
And why my dad sucks at the Crucible.
Here we go.
A podcast for players of all levels. Find Happy Hour from the Tower on iTunes, Stitcher, or at happyhourfromthetower.com. Eyes up, Guardian. Time to give up the ghost. It's Happy Hour from the Tower. First round's on us.
This is Aaron Sheik. You listen to the Geek Radio Daily.
That's right, you jabroni.
Well, I didn't realize he did a director's cut for that. Hey, welcome back to it. Finally, Frackin' Friday. You're probably going somewhere.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Of course they do. What are folks going to go see, yo?
In limited release, we've got a story of a gang of close-knit thieves from Youngstown, Ohio, who try to steal $30 million in illegal contributions and blackmail money from President Richard Nixon's secret fund. Reese Coiero, Mark Steven Johnson, and Ken Hixon star in Finding Steve McQueen.
Nationwide release, the story of a magnificent amusement park where the imagination of a wildly creative girl named June comes alive. Jennifer Garner, Jeffrey Tambor, Ken Jeong, Mila Kunis, and Kenan Thompson star in Wonder Park, which I can't help but think is not going to be a wonder.
Your body's a wonder park. Stella Grant is 17, addicted to her laptop, and loves her best friends. But unlike most teenagers, she spends much of her time living in a hospital as a cystic fibrosis patient. Her life is full of routines, boundaries, and self-control, all of which is put to the test when she meets an impossibly charming fellow CF patient named Will Newman. There's an instant flirtation, though restrictions dictate that they must remain a safe distance between them. As their connection intensifies, so does the temptation to throw the rules out the window and embrace that attraction. In what can only be described as a mix between Romeo and Juliet and Pushing Daisies, see Cole Sprouse, Haley Lou Richardson, Kimberly Hebert Gregory in 5 Feet Apart.
A sci-fi thriller that's set in a Chicago neighborhood nearly a decade after it's been occupied by an extraterrestrial force and the people that try to put an end to it. John Goodman, Rupert Riott, and Vera Farmiga star in Captive State.
Is that one of the Cloverfields?
No.
I was hoping it was a follow-up of that other one. A bit of an outsider struggling to fit into her new surroundings, Nancy and her pals set out to solve a mystery, make new friends, and establish their place in the community. Sophia Lillis, Laura Wiggins, and Lindy Lavin star in Nancy Drew and the Hidden Staircase. And surprisingly, that's not a follow-up to Harry Potter and the Hidden Staircase. But fitting in can be difficult when the space is too small, but what if you had the power to walk through walls of solid steel and stone and into the fourth dimension? See Robert Lansing, Patty Duke, and Lee Merriweather in 4D Man on Svengoolie.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. As we all prepare for Endgame and the more cosmic-enhanced Marvelverse with, like, Eternals on the horizon, more grounded films from Marvel are still in the works, including one that has had problems gaining traction.
Is it Matador? Frogman? Bi-Beast?
No. But Destin Daniel Cretton from Short Term 12 and The Glass Castle will be directing Shang-Chi, with David Callahan, who wrote Wonder Woman 1984, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2, writing the script. Marvel Studios is planning for Shang-Chi to explore aspects of Asian American identity in a story that will borrow from Marvel's comics, where he is the biracial son of Fu Manchu and does not know that his father is, wait for it, secretly a villain.
Is Christopher Lee reprising his role?
No idea, as no other details about the movie have been announced yet, but Danny Rand says he's ready if you need a fist.
Nice. So nice. Netflix's The Last Kids on Earth animated series, based on the best-selling books by Max Brawlier, has just made sure you will watch every episode as they lined up a dream voice cast. Mark Hamill, Rosario Dawson, and Catherine O'Hara are joining Keith David, Bruce Campbell, Garland Witt, Montse Hernandez, and Charles Demers, as well as Nick Wolfhard as the lead character Jack Sullivan.
Yet another audition I lose to Mark Hamill.
Takes a Jedi to beat me.
The series follows 13-year-old Jack Sullivan and a band of suburban middle schoolers who battle zombies in the aftermath of a zombie and monster apocalypse. Based on the series of illustrated novels by Brawlier, the animated series is set to launch on Netflix later this year.
So, a lot like my middle school days?
Oh, they just had somebody follow you around. The Last Kids on Earth book was published in 2015 to wide acclaim and has since spawned four sequels, with the latest book, The Last Kids on Earth and The Midnight Blade, set to hit bookshelves this September. And if any other kids are left on Earth, enjoy it.
The Alien franchise celebrates its 40th anniversary this year. Yeah. And now 20th Century Fox Film has partnered with global creative community Tongle to develop and produce a half dozen original shorts set in the world of the groundbreaking sci-fi horror film series.
So is this the live-action series we talked about? Probably
is. The studio reviewed over 550 pitches from filmmakers, narrowing it down to six final stories. And filmmakers were given access to everything. Storytelling elements, creatures, characters. Each of the six shorts delivers a new narrative for fans while paying homage to the original film. The rollout of the six shorts will begin on a weekly basis on IGN starting March 29th.
Ah, so it is the one we talked about. The Isolation series was kind of cool.
I liked it. The lineup's going to be Alien Alone, written and directed by Noah Miller. Alien Containment, written and directed by Chris Reading. Alien Harvest, directed by Benjamin Howdeshell. Alien Night Shift, written and directed by Adrian Bresnik, with special help by the Commodores. Alien Ore, written and directed by the Spear Sisters, Brittany and hers. Alien Specimen, directed by Kelsey Taylor.
All the music is by John Denver, right?
On May 3rd, they will be available on the official At Alien Anthology social channels and alienuniverse.com, along with exclusive behind-the-scenes content.
Xenomorphs, take me home to the place I...
Sadly, my pitch about an Easter egg hunt that goes horribly wrong was passed over yet again.
Why do we not know somebody who has a xenomorph costume,
right?
And do an Easter egg hunt every year?
Oh, Jason.
The United Kingdom's Royal Mint will honor the work of Stephen Hawking with a commemorative coin featuring the physicist's name above concentric circles representing a black hole.
Well, they were going to do Schrodinger's coin, but once it was in your pocket, you have spent it and not spent it at the same time.
Hawking, who died last year, was known in the scientific community for his study of black holes and the idea that black holes can evaporate via Hawking radiation. Non-scientists know him through his works of popular science writing, including A Brief History of Time, his various appearances in pop culture, and his ability to thrive despite the paralyzing effects of his motor neuron disease.
And his epic rap battles.
You are not wrong, dog. Edwina Ellis designed the coin. Not only is it flipping cool that a conceptual drawing of a black hole appears on a coin, but it also has to be the most advanced physics equation to ever appear on currency. That equation describes the entropy of a black hole. Entropy can be understood as the number of different microscopic configurations that could add up to the macroscopic qualities you observe, or how a system's energy disperses out at a given temperature.
Oh, so like ice melting or sugar dissolving, making popcorn of boiling water while you're wearing a lab coat.
Right you are, Flynn. We know that not even light can escape a black hole, but at the same time, the laws of physics say that the entropy of a system can't spontaneously decrease. So in the early 1970s, physicists like Hawking began to ask what happened to the total entropy of the system when things fell into black holes.
Negentropy solved!
Hawking's work led to the idea of Hawking radiation, the theory that black holes must radiate matter from their surfaces, also known as their event horizons. The idea represents an important milestone in physics, and the equation is an important combination of the laws of gravity, called general relativity, with the laws of the smallest particles, called quantum mechanics. Uncirculated copies of the coin are available for purchase at the Royal Mint's website. Now, if you get one, be careful. If you accidentally put one of those in a vending machine, the Singularity will remove all Doritos from the universe and replace them with off-brand animal crackers.
No! Oh, damn it.
So that last story was just a warm-up to help us get through this one. I hope you're ready. Here we go.
Okay.
Scientists have demonstrated time reversal in a quantum computer, returning 3 qubits, the basic unit of quantum information, to their state a fraction of a second earlier.
Wibbly wobbly.
In physics, systems traveling forward in time evolve from a simple state to a more complicated one known as the thermodynamic arrow of time, not the Next Gen episode. For example, if you were to put a drop of ink into a glass of water, initially it would be a well-defined state, but soon it spreads out, and then it just uniformly dissolves into the water. But if time were reversed for a human, they would become younger.
Well, as Cher so eloquently has both taught and shown us.
Scientists from the U.S. and Russia have experimentally demonstrated time reversal, sending a qubit from a more complicated state to a simpler one.
Like Catherine Helmond in Brazil.
Yes! The algorithm they suggest changes the quantum developed state so it starts to develop back in time. Quote, doing this magic with the developed state of ink, we will see that after the same time needed for the dissolving of water, the ink will again combine back into the original drop, said Andrei Lebedev, the study author. This is exactly what we did in our work, where the drop of ink is a state of 3 qubits and the water is a Hilbert state of the quantum computer. I hope you understood that. In the experiment, researchers set the state of each qubit to what you would think of as zero. From this point, the order is lost and the qubits become more and more complex, changing to a pattern of zeros and ones. Next, time was reversed by a specially developed program that allows quantum computer to go from a state of chaos to order, going from complex to simple. As a result, the qubits are sent backwards in time.
Well, is this the 50s? Or a 1999.
This program was successful in a 2-qubit quantum computer around 85% of the time. When a third one was introduced, more errors occurred. The success rate fell to 50%. So, developing a quantum computer that can reverse time on a large scale is not going to happen anytime soon. And it indicates time travel is, you know, unlikely because it's too complex until we figure something out. The team now plans to investigate time reversal further and look for situations in nature where their procedure could be more effective. Until we realize we already achieved this and keep on repeating time, which explains déjà vu.
Oh, this is heavy.
Excellent! GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. I was going to throw in the catchphrase from Voyagers, but only you and I would have appreciated that.
But see, as soon as you mention geekradiodaily.com, yeah. There it is.
Oh, wow!
There's the reference to Voyagers.
Craziness. Hey! Go check us out at all of our various locations and the places we are. Stalk us to find out if you don't know. Or just ask us directly. Drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or you could always send a voicemail to the magical number of
510-GRD-PRO.
And your question for the week. It's a simple one. It's easy. We've probably gotten drunk before and talked about it. If you could go back in time, where's the one place you're going? Let us know. We really want to find out.
Oh,
see ya.
What do you think? It stinks.
Man, game over, man. Game over.
Good night, suckers.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
I'm just a lonely zombie. I'm just a lonely zombie in this hallway. Wishing I could eat some brains, some brains. I'm just a lonely zombie. I'm just a lonely zombie.
Watch for videos.
Oh, somebody tell me where are the brains?